Support for this episode of FilmSack comes from the Atomic Geeks Podcast, a beer-fueled conversation about movies, TV, comic books, and more. Find them on iTunes or at theatomicgeeks.com. The PH Geek Podcast, with dissertations on geek culture ranging from Star Trek, Star Wars, zombies, comic cons, and more. All brought to you by the girl and three guys from thephgeek.com. And by David Toms, Mike Peace, and James Colley, three film students from Coventry University in the UK. They're in pre-production stage of their short film, Bike, which is based on the Stephen King short story, Stationary Bike. They're currently trying to raise funds through Indiegogo.com. Head over to Indiegogo.com/bike and donate whatever you can. For more information, go to randomdownload.co.uk/bike.
I'm so sorry your fiancé couldn't join us. He had to leave very abruptly. But he asked me to watch over you, at least until tomorrow. I hope you'll find our company satisfactory.
Raw meat. Do you like raw meat? This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I almost didn't get through that sentence. My name is Scott Johnson. And with me today, Brian, put your face in the fireplace, Dunaway.
Oh, nice. You know what? These introductions are just too much work, so I've just kind of summed up what I think I'm just going to say every time from now on. Weird midget, check. Cocky teenagers, check. English dude, check. Blonde-headed girl with dark eyebrows, check. Werewolf and bunny ears. What the hell is Scott Johnson making me watch this week?
Yeah. It's, yeah. This movie, yeah. Also with us, Randy, nothing tastier than a wheelchair dude's head, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. Did you know that I used to work as a high school student in a ridiculous town where there was this haunted house that was... Damn it, this crappy movie broke my gag.
Early, too, geez. And then finally, Brian, a part of a dude's leg is not an hors d'oeuvre, Ibbit.
Oh, he said his friends disappeared in this particular wax. I can't do this with a British accent. Oh, he said his friends disappeared in this particular waxwork. You sure it was this one? There's the other waxwork on 29th Street. There's McWaxworks over on Main. There's Waxworks and More over on Beach Street. Oh, are you sure they weren't talking about I can't believe those aren't real live people dipped in wax on Duncan Avenue?
Can you tell me? Can you tell me what the more is at Waxworks and More? What else would they sell there? What would they have?
Jalapeno flavored ketchup.
Okay, that's more for sure. No question about
it. That sounds good. I'm gonna take some jalapeno jelly and mix it into my ketchup. That sounds really good.
Oh, that sounds great right now. Actually,
actually have some in your fridge, dude.
Do I have some?
Yes, I had it on my potatoes.
Oh, we did.
Oh my god,
I don't remember that. Weird. You know more about what's in my fridge than me? That's really weird.
That's really sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's Waxwork. That's the movie. It's a 1980s era horror movie. I suppose it's a horror movie. And it sucks. Let's let Scott Fletcher explain more.
Sucks?
Well, we'll talk. Don't worry. We'll get there.
All right.
Let's let Scott Fletcher explain.
Waxwork. Invited over by a mysterious magician, played by David Warner, Mark, played by Zach Galligan, and his college friends, attend a private tour of a macabre wax statuette museum near campus, where the exhibits suck them into the frightening worlds of dangerous werewolves, vampires, and other monsters, full of satisfying suspense and gore. This inventive horror film finds Mark teaming up with unlikely allies in order to shut the waxwork down and escape with his life.
No. All of that is untrue.
No.
False.
That movie's not very good at any of the things you just said. I didn't see this when I was younger. I had no idea this was brand new for me. I think maybe for all of us, did any of us see it
I had never seen it before, but I have seen the cover box at Blockbuster so many times and almost pulled that trigger so many times.
Right.
But
which one? Is the one with the little guy in front with the door? And
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not until now has someone made me watch this crap. But I say crap, but actually, for Halloween, this is fantastic.
No.
Halloween time, I mean, when it comes near Halloween time, I love watching these crazy, crappy, pseudo scary movies, and this delivers.
Okay. So what, just real quick, I just want to get to the bottom of this. What is it about this movie that you feel like delivers the Halloween thrills?
It feels like, I wouldn't say the Halloween thrills, but it really reminded me of Amazing Stories. Remember that?
The Spielberg show.
Yeah, yeah. Spielberg in the 80s. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It felt like this to me, and it really
special
did.
Special effects, like, I would agree with, but
yeah, right. Special effects were definitely 88. Yeah. But it had this kind of fun. I mean, most of it was done through, it's a little bit of tongue in cheek. It's a lot lighter than the crap we see today. I mean, it's not so hardcore, heavy hitting horror.
It felt like they didn't know how much they wanted to have, though. Like, there were times where they got kind of gory, splitting a dude in half.
That was awesome. What are you talking about? That was, I did not know that was coming. When he started, you know, we've seen the scene a million times in movies where some monster squeezes somebody's head until it pops, eyeballs pop out.
Right, right.
And I thought that's what he was doing. I thought this giant werebunny was squeezing this guy's head because, you know, juice was starting to come out of his eye.
Yeah.
He wasn't squeezing his head. He was ripping his head apart and ripped him all the way down and bisected him all the way through.
Yep.
That was pretty freaking fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. That's the stuff I enjoy, right? Like, that's why these movies sort of work. But, man, the acting and the story structure.
Can I ask you guys a question? At what time of the day did you watch this movie?
First thing in the morning.
Yeah, we watched it in the morning on Thursday.
That is the problem. This is the movie. It's like a bad date. You wake up next to the girl in the morning time. You do not want that. This is something that you watch. This is fantastic at 2 in the morning, which is when I watched it. All right? This is something that you want to watch at 2 in the morning. Do not watch it in the morning.
I watched the last 20 minutes today because I ran out of time that day, and we had a lot going on that weekend, and I just couldn't do it. So I kind of got refreshed on it. So I really watched the final battle today.
Yeah.
That's the piece I got. Randy, how about you?
I watched it right before we recorded this.
Oh, man,
you see,
fresh.
You guys watched it all at the wrong time. This is a 2 in the morning kind of movie.
Well, what, you didn't tell us that beforehand? Did you know that going into it?
But I'm sorry. It's like saying that the swimming pool that is kind of ugly and everything, it's all right to swim in at night, though. You'll enjoy it if you just do it in the middle of the night.
No offense to Ibbitt, because I know he loves to bowl. I hate bowling, but nighttime bowling, awesome.
You're just saying it's bad, though. It needs a crutch somehow to be enjoyed.
Yeah, that is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah,
it is what you're saying. I don't feel like time of day would help this movie very much. And in fact, here's the statement I promised. I teased last week what I was going to say about this movie. I believe in my heart of hearts, and I mean worse than Troll 2, worse than Retrograde. I think this is the worst movie
worse
we've
than
seen.
Retrograde?
Oh, no. Yeah.
No.
I think so. No. You don't think so?
The acting was actually, in some parts, the acting was actually pretty decent. And this is something that was pretty common of that late 80s kind of where you do a lot of your storytelling just through the actors. Just instead of doing a lot of visual stuff, a lot of it's just through acting.
Was it all that impressive fight choreography at the end of the film that was really
that
blowing
was
you
fantastically
away?
Horrible. The very end of it, the movie fell apart.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was already kind of falling apart, but the pieces that had fallen apart were falling apart again.
Yeah.
They were falling into smaller pieces at that point of the film.
It was getting pretty bad at the end. I won't lie. This guy did not wrap up.
Yeah. So David Warner, right? Like, I think he may be our all-time most watched guy on the show now. So that puts him at 4, I believe.
Yeah.
Star Trek 5, this, The Omen, and what was the other one? There's one more. Oh, it's about to eat. I'm sure there's a fourth. We've watched so many movies. I swear we came up with this the other day. But anyway, whether it's 4 or it's 5, we're about to hit 4 or 5 next week with Time Bandits, because he's in that as well.
Was he was he in the British one with the
with the thing?
The naked girl running around for half the movie.
Oh no.
I love those movies.
Yeah.
Right. We all know what you're talking about.
Right. I can't think of it, but I think it is. I think we are working on our fifth. That unseats either Jean-Claude Van Damme or Wesley Snipes, because I don't remember who we've seen more of.
Okay.
As our most famous thing. But yes, yes, Brian.
I want to ask Scott.
Yes, I'm ready.
There were nothing but beautiful honeys in this movie, right?
No.
What in the world?
Sure.
What kind of question is that?
Beautiful honeys.
You really did watch this at 2 a.m. What drugs were involved also, by the
they
way?
Were, come on, Deborah Foreman?
Beautiful. Yes, Valley Girl? Michelle absolutely. Johnson? Absolutely. And Michelle Johnson, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Michelle Johnson, by the way, looks great today. She looks fantastic.
They all still look very good.
Nah, the other one doesn't. The one that got whipped for 4 hours and only barely had a bruise, that she is not she
really?
Is not looking good. No. Go look her up. She looks like Sarah. Somebody's grandma.
Sarah, right? That's who the Deborah Foreman.
And she was she was terrible in this. Freaking terrible.
Yes. Bad actress.
Bad.
I think attractive back then.
She really didn't say anything. Her dialogue was very minimum and probably for a reason.
Yeah, because she sucked. And then the other girl, she was fine. Died too soon, in my estimation. I think she should have been the main chick. I was reading that the bloody scene down there with the guy strapped to the gurney was way too bloody and they had to cut out like 50% of it.
That was awesome
for ratings. But then, so I'm watching it with that knowledge, and sure enough, there are scenes in there where they jump from there's a little bit of blood on her to the next scene where the entire wall behind her is covered in it, and she's soaked pink with blood, like her whole dress and everything. And I thought, there's something we missed in there. They had some grody thing they did, and I say grody because it's the 80s, right?
Yeah,
that's why I use that word.
Well, come on, there. I don't know.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and show my cards now. I kind of enjoyed this movie.
Enjoyed it. Let's talk about who else, or who's involved. So Anthony Hickox.
Yeah.
Known for such films, of course, as Waxwork, which was his first film, directorial debut. Yeah. He went on to do Sundown, The Vampire in Retreat, Waxwork 2, Lost in Time. We will not watch that.
I love that. Come on, why not?
Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth, Warlock, The Armageddon. It goes on and on. He directed Payback. That's not the Payback you guys are thinking of.
That's not the Mel Gibson Payback.
No. This is something with, who's in this? C. Thomas Howell and Joan Severance.
I've never seen that. That sounds fantastic.
About that's a dying, yeah, like a dying prisoner. No, we can't. We can't do that. he did the Prince Valiant movie, which I sort of remember.
Okay. With Jim Bullock?
Yeah, Jim J. Bullock. And he did the Shoot Me TV series with, some SNL
David
people are in
Spade
that. Yeah, David Spade, I think. Oh, no. Yeah. That's not, you know what? This is another case. It's another case of a show that's the same name as that, but it's not the same show.
What is the one with? Oh, really?
Yeah. Alexa Chung, Cyrus Pallavi, and Rebecca Shanks, and it made like a pilot and two other episodes, and then it got canceled.
Nice.
So never mind on that. So not a big real deal maker or hit maker, but I like his picture on IMDb. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm. What about? Awesome.
It's like old time horror guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of creepy people, I always like to pick the craziest looking person on the IMDb list. And this week, the winner goes to Jack David Walker. If you scroll down
Okay.
He plays Junior. The big tall lurch character. Yeah, the lurch guy.
Oh,
look at his pictures today.
Wow. Hold on. That is. You must, if you're listening to this episode, you must go look at this.
Oh,
wow, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like, great.
It's like the bottom of Salma Hayek's foot.
His last movie. His last movie. He's still alive. His last movie was in 1990, so he was done like four movies later.
I don't know if he is still alive. Look at him.
Wow.
He was on something called Coach, but not the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, right. It was. You remember that movie?
Is there a Photoshop filter that'll... Like
it's like HGR, right? It looks like high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like they took Tom Waits and like added noise to his face. Like
he looks terrible, dude.
Always my friend. That's life. That's life.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I remember him. I now remember seeing him in Mac and Me. They're showing it here, and it's that weird alien.
Like, we need to watch Mac and Me too. This what a E.T. crappy ripoff.
Oh, it's such an E.T. ripoff. Who directed that real quick? I just want to see. I don't know. Oh, Stuart Raffill. Apparently I've seen this guy before because his link is clicked. Oh, he did. Hold on. Let's see. No, that's not who I'm thinking of. Oh, Ice Pirates. That's who that is.
Ice Pirates, yeah. You know, I've never talked about this on the show, but when I was growing up, right after high school, I started working at Blockbuster, and I worked at several video stores. And during that time, you know, DVDs were not really here. So a lot of VHS stuff. And I remember seeing all of these covers. And these are all movies that I saw and I said, I will never watch these. And I remember them being in the crappiest section of Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no one ever rented these movies. But now I wish I had them. Mm. I really do.
Well.
No, because then I would already see them by now. And then I wouldn't be able to watch them again anew. On film set, so take
David
it back.
Warner, the guy looks like about 12 in that old shot, mm-hmm. or in the old movie. Oh, John Rhys Davies, by the way, as the werewolf.
Fantastic.
Jeez, kicking that guy to the curb. Here, here's freaking Indiana Jones movies. Enjoy that for a bit, and now go screw yourself, because here's the worst job you can ever have in Hollywood. And he was, you know, poor guy. He's a great actor, mm-hmm. dude. Mm-hmm. He played the werewolf.
You got Miles O'Keefe in here.
I'm sorry. It was more like a
werebunny.
Werebunny.
Chuck E. Cheese's werewolf character.
Yeah, it was like an animatronic Chuck E. Cheese character.
Who was the short person? I've been trying to look it up. At first, I thought it was the short person from.
It's Joe Baker, isn't it?
Poltergeist.
I thought it was Joe.
I swear it might be.
Is it Michu Mihaly Michu Mazaros?
I think you're right. Maybe. Oh, you're right. It's not Joe Baker. I apologize.
A diminutive 3-foot-tall actor and circus performer, Mihaly Michu Mazaros, hails from Budapest, Hungary. Mm. Not surprisingly, he portrayed circus midgets in both Big Top Pee Wee and Warlock the Armageddon. Oh, I love that circus scene. Mihaly is best known for donning the furry full body costume as the titular rascally extraterrestrial. See full bio.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Elf.
He was on Elf.
He was Elf.
Yeah. Oh, he was Elf?
He was Elf.
That is funny. Oh, my gosh.
That's great. That's great.
He was in HR Puff and stuff, so he's been inside a lot of. And he also performed stunts for Look Who's Talking. So whenever they needed to, have the baby fall down the stairs, it was actually Mihaly Michu Mazaros.
And he was, there's a Film Sack connection.
Mijaros.
It's a Film Sack connection. He was in that Freaked movie.
Exactly.
He played George Ramirez the Third, and that is the last film he did. And
that was the last, because they killed him right there on the show.
I assume he's around. Like, he should be, I don't know. You never know. Some of those guys that really have that condition, like, that severe.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really have trouble later on in life if they can even get that far. So who knows? But, he was my favorite part of the movie. I'm not going to lie to you.
It was funny.
It's just so hard to understand.
I couldn't understand him. Like any of that. Let's see. Oh, and Scott Fletcher, by the way, later in the show today, he did an impression of him. So stay tuned for that.
I can't wait.
We haven't done Fletcher quotes yet.
Fletcher. Oh, have we not? Yeah, we did. The intro thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you been?
Wax work. Begin with that.
Yeah, he did it. Remember, because he said it was an intense something.
Oh, that's right. That's
battle
right.
of yes. whatever, and I went, no, it isn't.
And it was crap. Yeah.
Had to go again, Ibbet?
Yeah, how did it go? Ibbet knows.
Wax work.
All right, so, sorry, I got a little hooked on who Zach Galligan has played before. He looks really familiar to me.
Zach Galligan.
Galligan, rather.
From Gremlins.
He's the Gremlins guy.
Yeah.
All right. That bugged me the whole movie. I didn't look it up.
Really?
But yeah. I just couldn't. Yeah.
We need to watch Gremlins.
Should we?
Oh, my gosh.
We need to watch Gremlins 2. Actually, I really enjoy. I think Guilty Pleasure Time, Gremlins 2. I really.
Is that the one where the cover is like the back of a business chair and there's a gremlin with a cigar sitting in it?
Probably. Okay. Yeah, it's where they decided, hey, you know how the first one was kind of fun heart? We're actually just going to kind of make fun of that movie for the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was almost a parody of the original.
And if he was in that was just a year after this came out or so.
And you know.
Wow, world of difference I think, between these terrible movies and that. Because Waxwork is shite, dude, compared to this other movie. It is.
Deborah, Michelle Johnson, by the way. So we're talking about like the pedigree of some of these actors and actresses in here. She was the girl who went topless with Demi Moore in that Michael Caine movie, Blame It on Rio.
Blame It on Rio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
An HBO guilty pleasure for all of us, I'm sure.
She's really pretty.
Late night HBO after the parents went to sleep.
I didn't feel guilty at all.
She's also in that Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman movie that no one's ever heard about called Horizons Lotions, or what is it? Hold on.
Horizons Lotions, How to Become a Scientologist.
Hold on. Oh, no, it's Far and Away I'm thinking of, but it was called something a different country.
Oh, I saw Far and Away.
Country.
Oh,
that was I think that was the Spanish title was Horizons and Oceans or something.
I thought it said Horizons and Lotions, but I guess
it
not.
It does. It looks like that, doesn't it?
I was a big I really like that Ron Howard movie.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Isn't that where they met? And Cole Meany's in that? Like freaking, you know.
They met in Days of Thunder, but.
Hey, guess what? Guess what I'm finding out here? This movie is so bad that we're talking about other movies again. This is what we do.
That's what we do.
That is how we do. Writer-director Anthony Hickox wrote the screenplay in only 3 days. Really, you're shocking me here.
No. And bragging about that, too. Hey.
It's unbelievable. During the scene.
Look at the money they made comparatively to what, you know, they put into it. So not bad.
Yeah, not bad for 3 days of work, sure.
Yeah.
During the scene in the basement of the vampire's mansion, Cruise on the set said that it, quote, it was the bloodiest thing ever put to screen. Much of the gore of the scene was cut by the MPAA. Clearly, they really should have left that in. I think I would have enjoyed whatever that was. There were four characters.
Nice.
The what?
It was a good piece of work.
Yeah,
that leg.
That leg was pretty good. Not bad. There were four characters that were supposed to be displays in the waxwork but were left out of the film for legal reasons. One was Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. Five children from the Village of the Damned, the Golem, and the Thing were all going to be featured as wax recreations.
Yeah, probably copyright stuff, right?
And somebody said, hey, Hickox, don't be a dumbass. Those all cost us money. And he said, all right, well, I've only got 3 days to write this, so F you guys. That's it for that.
Hey, and you know what? You guys are giving this movie a hard time, but honestly, it's got a 6.0 rating at IMDb.
Why?
Which for a horrible 1980s film is pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty high on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's like over 50%.
That surprises me. And honestly, that really does surprise me because
You watched it during the wrong time of the
maybe
day.
Maybe I you know what? I back-to-backed it with last week's movie, Dusk Till Dawn, and I think maybe that hurt me here a little bit because we're both, you know, dealing with vampires and the same sort of whatever. But that movie's modern sensibilities and, you know, whatever. Production value, whatever. And it just made this look like the most ancient turd I'd ever seen.
I watched this after about a six-hour run of Alf, so it was right for me. Yeah.
I think I fall between Scott and Brian. You know, like, I don't think it was that bad, Scott, in terms of how it looked. The acting was awful, but it was really earnest. You know, like, the actors were really trying really hard.
Yeah.
The importance of being earnest.
I liked it because they gave it a good effort.
Right. What? I did. It's true. What's wrong with that?
They worked real hard on it. The 3 days on the script and then a day to film. And we just got to put that guy in the camouflaged freaking Commander Pike wheelchair and we're set. Let's see. I think it starts out like it almost felt like a John Cusack movie at first to me. Because, you know what I'm saying?
They are ritzy and rich, and you know there's a bunch of class stuff going on there. Yeah. Whereas like class warfare,
school,
ritzy uppity up people. Yeah. Tony had the serious high waters and the suit on.
Yeah.
By the way, Danny Ashbrook, my favorite actor in this movie. He bar none, just fantastic.
Wait, which one? Remind me, who was he?
He's Tony. He was the one that fell in and was almost immediately. He was the first one to really die.
Oh, the one that got in the werewolf. The werewolf bit. Yeah. He was all right. He was okay.
He did great, man. I mean, he was outside talking to himself. And I mean, he was just blowing everybody else away.
Well, let me tell you about what that guy is. He is literally this. He is a damn trope. He's the goofy buddy who's laffy taffy and then gets out there and dies first and goes, okay, you guys, joke's over.
Still, you're starting to sway me, Brian, that the dirty pool is actually good to swim in at night. Oh. I'm starting to...
No.
He's I love it.
If the movie is bad, it's bad no matter what time of day you watch it.
Agreed.
And despite what level of inebriation you might be or
Team Gibbet.
Okay.
Kind of just, great meal you may have just had.
Team Gibbet.
Gin and tonic, 8 in the morning, gin and tonic, 11 at night. Which is what you gonna go for? I mean,
yeah, but
having both this weekend, I can say
there's an appropriate time for certain things. And I'll tell you, Dana Ashbrook reminds me so much of what Matthew Lillard is in the Scream movies.
Oh, I mean, he was just Yeah.
He really...
He's that. That's the trope. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. For sure. Well, you know what? If I'd have sat and watched this with you guys, I'd have had the time of my life.
Yeah.
You know, like shooting a bat point blank with your gun and using a line from Dirty Harry is so great.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff like that that I always said, oh, if you guys were just here with me, I could enjoy this for what it's worth. But as a movie by yourself in the morning trying to record clips... Blah, not so
two
good
in the morning for me, baby, by myself, nobody here. Yeah. Me laughing, waking kids up. Dad, what's going on? Yeah. Here,
what's going on, Dad? I'm scared.
What the crap are you watching?
speaking of tropes, this one, they sidle up to the yard of the waxwork, and suddenly there's David Warner in his best Willy Wonka impression uniform. And he shows up and says, where's your golden ticket, or whatever the hell he says. And they go, oh, it's waxwork, something, whatever. And one girl's almost flirting with him.
She is, which is totally sick. That's
But the tropey part is he keeps...
Oh, six of us?
They turn for a second and go, oh, we should totally go. And then they look back and he's gone.
Yeah.
I hate that. Yeah. When a guy's just popping in and popping out. The movie never set it up as he's got teleportation power. They never got into that.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, it's not like, you know, there's magic at work. I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? There's all right, let's say magic.
Sure,
I mean,
magic works. You know, magic works.
People are
magic,
going into portholes into the worlds of the wax dioramas.
Right.
He's a wizard. It's not like he's coming up behind him, bonking him in the head, dip him in wax, and then pose him however he wants.
But he should.
You're gonna nitpick over. Well, they never said anything about him having teleportation powers.
But what I mean, no, that's a fair point. But what I mean is he is underdeveloped as a character, as a villain. You don't really know his motivations. Sure. You don't know why he does what he does. His powers are kind of left to the whatever. He's got the midget and the tall guy doing everything for him. It's like weird.
He's pure evil all the way down to the very end when he dies, and such an obvious death. I mean, it's like,
I love that.
Gee, I wonder if he's going to fall into the vat of wax. Gee, I wonder. He's conveniently walked up to the catwalk, which is right over top of it.
Yeah.
Gee.
And then right after that, the Gremlins boy is backing up to the wax, acting all like everything's fine. And I wonder if David Warner will pop out of the wax and grab him by the neck. That stuff was...
I loved it.
You know what? Talking to you now.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying the movie's better, Brian. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when I talk to you guys about it, better movie.
Doesn't seem so bad.
Well, I don't want to ever see it again, ever.
Right.
But if you all were in the house and we all said, you know what, let's watch that, I'd go, all right, let's watch that. That would be, you know.
You may get Scott. You may get Randy. You're not getting me. This is crap.
We're bringing you in, baby.
I don't know how many times I looked at the time remaining on the film. And if, you know, I had to actually, if I would have moved the TV up higher, I would have seen more of the movie with my eyes rolling as much as they were.
Wow. That's awesome. I still think we would have had a good time if we all watched it.
Yeah.
What else? A movie would actually scare me if it was creepy dude putting real people in wax. Like the idea of people getting waxed. Like, I have two fears as a child. One was wax figures freaked me out when I was a kid.
Well, they all do.
Really weird and oddly, you know, it's all that uncanny valley looked everything, and I just didn't like that. Mm-hmm. But also dying face first in a fire. That was something I always was afraid of as a kid. And this movie opens with a scene with a dude getting put face first in a fire,
which is awesome. Oh, by the way, this is not a horror movie. This is a creep movie. It's where you just feel creepy the whole time. Everything just feels creepy. There's nothing really going to jump at you and scare you. You're just going to get through and you're going to feel like, ooh, I feel creepy.
So what other movies would you put it on par with? Like Creepshow 1 and 2. It's like that.
Yeah. It's just creepy. It's just like those kind of movies.
What's another 80s movie like that? There's other stuff we've even seen on the show. Like, I would say Fright Night is kind of in that category.
Mm-hmm. Not going to jump, but just, you know, that guy next door, he's kind of creepy.
Yeah. There are others, but... Mm-hmm. So I said this is the worst thing we've seen. But I mean, Ibbot, you don't like it at all. Is it the worst thing you've seen?
No. I still think Retrograde is still my
Retrograde. Still.
It's going to be hard to top Retrograde, but this was close. If it wasn't in the number one slot, I'd put it in the top five or bottom five, I guess, would be the appropriate place.
Yeah, I think it belongs in the bottom five. It's really hard down at that level, discern between.
Yeah.
They're so bad.
Yeah,
they are.
It's short hairs difference.
I put it slightly above Troll 2.
What? See, now Troll 2, I will never watch again unless I'm with you guys. But yeah. I don't have the same disdain for Troll 2. Not even close.
Interesting.
Like Troll 2, Troll 2, I get why it's the thing that
Troll 2, once again, also not necessarily scary as much as just creepy.
Well, yeah. there's this.
This is my house.
Remember that? My house.
Snake Lady. She was pretty rad. All right, we did the trope about the dorky stoner friend who dies first. Let's see. Oh, another trope. Check it out. All horror movies have to say or have a "Hey, watch me eat something gross" scene in the 80s. The 80s had this. Like every 5 minutes, there'd be something. You know, even Indiana Jones: The Temple of Doom. They're eating monkey brains and licking the insides of freaking shelled bugs.
Oh, yeah. Monkey brains.
Is that a thing we do anymore? We get like Randy. You see movies now, and they don't really do that anymore. It's more like gross out in bodily function ways, but nobody's eating.
They moved it to Fear Factor and Survivor. That's
The scene with the vampire getting impaled on the champagne bottles, and they all burst open and spray everywhere. As it starts with another vampire coming in and plucking off some flesh from a dude who's been hurt really badly. You don't see that so much, and it is really gross, isn't it?
Yep,
it is.
It sicked me out, and I knew the whole time, like, well, that ain't real, but he just ate a part of that guy's leg. And part of it too was the guy going, "Before the main course, I will have an hors d'oeuvre," or whatever bull crap line he had.
Like raw meat, don't you?
Exactly. It's the
steak
way.
Tartare. Yes.
And then he's got to slowly pick it up, put it in his mouth, and go,
"What about the sauce? The sauce makes the sauce dish. You have to have the sauce.
What am I, Chili's? Back off, man. Back off."
I love that. That's a trope I like. I think we should watch for those in more movies. Another one would be this. No one remembers the buddy system in these movies. They all just wander off. I don't get that.
The first thing they do when they walk into the wax museum, everybody goes straight to their own vice immediately. Yeah. Runs straight to it. Yep. Love it.
I'm into vampires. This guy's into mummies.
I'm into women. I'm into guys beating me. So I'm
what was that dead. One? What was that for?
Oh, that's the Marquee.
The Marquee Assad. Whatever. Marquee Assad.
Yeah. Whatever.
The Cheech Marine.
Satanic.
I don't know how to say it, but I don't remember. But is that how that story goes? The prince is having people beat chicks and then...
Well, he's not just doing that. His whole deal was all about death and sex and necrophilia and all this kind of stuff. It wasn't really that. It was just...
So was he the brunette or the blonde guy?
He was supposed to be the black-haired guy who was doing the beating.
Okay. Yeah.
He wasn't the...
He should hold acting classes at a prestigious college. He was real good.
But weren't you a bit disturbed by the TARDIS feeling of that place? I mean, when you look outside, home, go inside, it's a freaking warehouse.
This movie puts the TARD in TARDIS.
Right. Yeah. Well said. That's a good look at it.
And I'm looking through my notes here to see, make sure that I cover the things I had. I actually have a theory about this film.
All right.
And my theory is because they were trying to balance some campy stuff with some jokey stuff. They were still trying to do the funny things with there was some stuff with the werewolf and the killings at the end, like the shooting the bat.
Right.
My thinking is that they were setting out to create the next Rocky Horror Picture Show esque cult movie.
Oh, you think intentionally trying to go all cult with that?
That's my thinking is that this was their attempt to say, okay, let's make something that gets shown on Saturday nights at midnight. People memorize the lines. They'll say it along with the thing. They'll dress up like the characters.
Success.
We'll have the tall guy, the lurch guy, kind of crying like he's they weren't trying to be seriously scary. I think they were trying to be goofy and do something along those lines.
So would you argue that they failed because they tried to, right?
Yeah,
I disagree because I'm always using lines from this movie.
You are?
Yeah.
You are.
How many times have you seen it though?
Wow. Oh, that's gotta hurt. I mean, I use that catchphrase all the time.
Right, but I think 50 other movies used it before they did. Right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, those aren't their catchphrases. That's them recycling crap. Kind of like the Dirty Harry bat shooting the bat in the head and said, what'd he say? He said the famous line. He said, what'd he say?
Make my day.
Make my day, yeah. And then make, and it was stupid. Grab the bat, hold it up and go, make my day. Boom. Dude, go pay $10 to Clint Eastwood if you're going to do that. I don't know. I don't know either way.
Now you're swaying back over.
Well, no, I don't know either way. What Ibbett says is actually a really interesting point, because it would make a lot of sense as to why they seemed like they were forcing it on us a little bit, especially the end. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what they were trying to do. But we've learned you can't do it. I mean, Troll 2 is not a cult classic because Troll 2 was trying to be a cult classic.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show Saturday night. He had the screenplay done by Wednesday. Is the deal?
Randy, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that's the key there is the earnestness of the effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people making Troll 2 were trying.
Yeah.
These people mm-hmm. were trying, and right. you occasionally get some good results, even if you're working from a horrible script. And no budget, and so on and so on.
Right.
I mean, come on. When Sir Wilford bust in at the very end, and his little wheelchair, Captain Pike thing going on, that was pretty awesome.
My eyes rolled so hard back in their head. I actually could see my brain from
wheelchair
the other side.
Tank. Yeah.
I could see my spine from where my eyes rolled.
Tell you, man. 2 in the morning.
Listen.
A lot funnier at 2 in the morning.
Can you guys answer this question for me? How did his butler, who had no other part in this film, how did the butler know to come save the day? And fight. How did that work out?
And then die.
He's like radar.
All right.
Jumpers.
MASH radar.
Yeah, MASH radar.
Oh, got it. All right. Mangled
like
hand
some kind of
radar.
Weird alien radar. No.
All right. All right. I mean, was he part of like the secret society of men who knew of the evil? And every time David Warner tried to pull a trick, they would come and save the day. Is that the deal?
Pretty much it. That's how it works.
Okay.
Well, you know, they were kind of, you know, they knew what was going on.
All right. I did like the scene where David Warner gets shot by old man in the Captain Pike seat, and he starts shooting, and the gun's slowly going to the left while he's shooting, yet the bullets are still coming real close to the kid and the girl. That was great. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I was sitting laughing with you guys about that. Like we're doing now. That's funny, but it sucked. Just sucked.
The difference is I'd see Troll 2 with you guys. I don't think I could sit through this. Even with you guys there, I think I'd rally for another movie.
Right.
We'd be constantly in the kitchen getting stuff.
If there's let's ask this. If there's a film we've ever covered that you would watch again with the four of us sitting there watching it, mm-hmm. what would you guys pick? Randy, what movie that we've covered would you pick? We'll go around the table here.
Honestly, I feel like the one thing missing from Nerdtacular was that we didn't watch Tremors in the same room.
Oh, yeah,
I would love to watch Tremors with the three of you.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. I could do Tremors again. How about you, Dunaway? What would you watch again?
That's a tough one, man. I can't say that I'd watch anything again. Oh, my gosh. I mean, really. That's the reason why we pick these things.
That's some of them, some of them for sure.
They're hard. They're hard to watch, but Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that Tracy Jordan's movie in 30 Rock hard to watch?
I think it is.
Yeah. Yes.
I would not watch Spaceballs with you guys again.
No.
Not Spaceballs.
Sorry.
Harry and
Henderson's? No.
No.
I mean, there's just so many things. I mean, I like to see The Thing with you guys. I mean, that's just a great, I'd like to watch that anytime.
That'd be fun to watch. That's a good movie to watch. But if I'm picking like the weird, I think I'd go, I know it sounds like the thing that everybody would say, but I would go Troll 2 again.
I would say Troll
really?
2.
Like, I would laugh.
I wrote a sticky note here, make suggestion to do Troll 2 group viewing with like full audience viewing at Nerdtacular 12.
Oh man,
that would be awesome.
Dude. All right, we'll think about that.
We'll have somebody will make some blue cookies or green cookies. Someone else will pee on them.
We're going to have to think about that.
It's a Utah thing, right? So maybe somebody who helped win the film, we could get out there and get them to stand up and wave.
Yeah, let's get the shut-in lady that you know.
This is my house lady.
Get off my lawn!
Oh, her, yeah. Or the guy that says, the coffee guy. That's at this convenience store. That's supposed to be really crazy in real life. That guy.
Yes, he will do it.
I want him. All right. What else? Main girl's terrible. I mentioned that. And the wax people that are supposed to be wax dudes. This is a problem I have in movies and TV shows generally. When everyone needs to freeze.
Yeah, they can't.
They can't. It's not humanly possible. That's the way our muscle groups work. You can't hold still. And in this movie, all these wax dudes are moving.
Well, which was fine for me because, you know, I was like, you know, they aren't really dead. So that's fine.
No, that isn't fine. It's not fine. You're supposed to think they're they're frozen, right? And some shows do it with some cool special effects now, and now it looks cool because they really aren't moving.
Let me tell you what. If you drink a Dr. Pepper with some acid in it, then, you know, this movie would be better.
like the scene in Troll 2 where the kids can still move around the table and the parents are and the family are all trying to pour their drinks and eat.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Oh, we got to watch
that scene. That's a great trope, though. That's kind of a trope, right?
That's a better one. We can call that a partial trope, which would give you one of these.
Ding dong diddly.
That's a ding dong diddly.
Yeah.
Ever heard one.
So, Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where do the people get these weathered brown bags from in movies?
I don't know.
Weathered
that
brown
bags.
That
is a great question.
Hold on, help me out.
Remind me where that was.
Yeah.
Okay. He comes in at the very end and he's got this brown bag. Every brown bag I have is like pristine or just got a few wrinkles in it. You know, like you carry your lunch in, a little brown bag you carry your lunch in. No, they get these oversized brown bags that are just awesome.
Was it like a leather bag or a paper bag?
It's almost leather, but it's a paper bag, but it's almost leather. It's like somebody crumpled it up lots of times, kept bringing it back out and crumpling it up.
Yeah.
And they're just awesome.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
The very end.
Randy knows what I'm talking about.
Okay. He knows a good leather bag when he sees one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's cool. What about now? You made me forget, and I don't remember now.
Hey.
I know. I got it. So Randy. I thought of Randy when this happened because the smoking. Man, the smoking in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
some pretty Esterhaz smoking, right?
Yeah, but it's a horror film, right? Mm-hmm. So smoking provides some suspense, like some mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some fake
noir going on there.
And the coolest smoker of all. Was the coolest dude in all, just the whole movie.
Gremlins
guy?
Yeah.
Oh, the cop. The cop stereotype, no. My gosh.
That cop was not a stereotype. He was uber freaking cool.
No, he wasn't.
Do you have any dialogue from him? I'm telling you.
I have some. He was overly young. Look, he was overly young. He was made up to look like an old guy with a beard, all grizzled in his freaking dark gray office with one light.
Yeah.
Could they have pulled that stereotype out and beat it to death more? I don't know if they could.
This movie was nothing but full of stereotypes. Yeah. But I thought that stereotype worked really well, and the actor just totally bought into it. And he was over the top without being ridiculous.
All right. The most creative bit and the most visually pleasing thing in the entire film was the Gremlin Kids thing that he fell into, which was like 50s style sci-fi horror.
Oh, yeah. It went black and white.
Black and white zombie thing. I thought that looked great. Like
it did look good.
Came off well. It was a kind of a creative thing. Like, oh yeah, look what they did here. They've just completely put him in that world, and the film is grainy. Didn't he lose a hand at one point?
No.
Was that not his hand?
No, that was not his hand. That was a zombie's hand, and that was how it ended.
But I know that. But I swear, when he was messing around with the hand, he looked down and he had a bloody stump. Did I miss? All right.
No, the hand did grab his hand one time, which was fun. And then he impaled the hand later on, which was awesome. And then the hand came off and it showed it to, you know, Quentin Tarantino and said, this is what it looks like when you really impale a hand. But
all right.
It was, I liked that part. I thought it was good. And what you're talking about there is what I feel like Ibbot thinks they were going for one thing. And I think they were going for another, where they were kind of like playing little mini homages to each horror genre. Throughout history, and
giving him too much credit, but keep going.
And I think that's what I think. I agree. I think the script was poop. I think the script was absolute poop. But I think enough people bought into this once they got in there, and I think they all had such a passion for what was going on. I think they turned it into something that was actually worth having.
You mean the people who made it?
The people who made it, the actors, especially the actors. I think the actors were just like. I think they really bought into it.
You think they were into it? All right.
Yeah.
I think they're paying the bills. I think they were hopeful. I think they're going. Nobody goes into a movie going, "Ah, man, this is going to be shite. Let's go ahead and get going."
But I think they were really behind it. They were like, I think they were really enjoying themselves.
Hmm. All right. I think that it's poo, and there's no other way around it.
I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
This is an 80s question. I don't remember having multicolored lockers at my school, but did you guys have multicolored lockers?
Yes.
Nope, we didn't.
What
is that like? Relive lockers. That for us. What is it like to have a multicolored locker?
I have no idea. I mean, that's just the way the lockers were.
We didn't know.
See, that bothers me because we need segregation in our lockers. And I
do we?
Just, no,
I like sameness. I like them all gray. I'm trying to remember. I don't think we had any differentiation in our in our lockers. They were all just dumb.
That is such an 80s thing, though.
What'd you have? Ours were the two colors of the school, so red and white. We had red lockers alternating with white lockers.
Oh, they would, so but you had alternating colors. See, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
We just had plain old. It wasn't even gray. It was like that. It's like your grandma's clothes dryer color.
Yeah.
Kind of yellow. Like baby poo yellow.
Whatever metal
avocado. Right. Avocado green and baby poo yellow. And that's all we had throughout the whole school. And our school was a big circle. So there was no, it was just one long, two or three long halls that were complete circular halls. There were never any corners, no right angles in my school. So the lockers just wrapped around one color, like a big turbine. Like you should see Obi-Wan Kenobi walking around the corner going, and trying to hide from stormtroopers like that. I've used that joke twice this week. Gibbon knows about the other one.
It's well done.
Let's do another trope. One more. This is the Spanish people who, when angry, only yell in Spanish, but otherwise try and speak English. It's the Ricky Ricardo syndrome, you know, where he starts yelling at Lucy, and before you know it, he's all Spanish yelling at her, as if somehow Spanish people only revert to their native language when they're really pissed off.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's a stupid idea.
Hey, you know what I did like, and I know I keep saying things that I did like, I thought was pretty smart.
How they would look like they were ripping her really hard, but they never really whipped her very hard.
That's right.
Yeah.
What I really liked is I liked the fact that they didn't beat you over the head with it, but the fact that the closing scene was actually an angry mob, which is how a lot of these horror movies ended, with the angry mobs. So,
oh, right. With torches.
Yeah, I thought it was very appropriate that an angry mob would come in and destroy all the monsters.
That's interesting. Do you think it was intentional, though? Because I feel like I'm giving that director too much.
I think it was totally intentional because they were all carrying, like, you know, rakes and shovels and weird crap that you would see in a mob.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I like the part where they sewed three people together and made a centipede out of it. That was a really good scene.
That was awesome. Wow.
Best scene ever.
Japanese guy got the best end of that deal, by the way. Yeah. All right. Anybody else got anything they want to throw into the ring and let us watch fight until their deaths? No, nothing.
Let's see. That's what else I got?
No other tropes? No more? Nothing?
No. Oh, okay. No more stuff?
Well, this is what I say to you.
Bleep you.
All right. Let's move on to clips. We got clips. We got lots of clips. I'm going to start playing these clips. Let's start with this one. Need the caffeine.
But mom, I need the caffeine badly.
I'll think about it.
All right, I have. This is what I think that sounds like.
I need a computer.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Very good. Wow, that's you cute. Nailed it.
Isn't that weird?
Mnemonica.
I know.
Very good.
Channeling a film 10 years away or whatever it was. Let's see. Warner shows up in the yard.
I'm sorry, ladies. Did I startle you?
Heart attack, maybe. Startle, no.
Yeah.
I see you're interested in my waxworks. Yes?
Well, yeah. In fact, what we're just saying, it's kind of a weird place to have one. I mean, on a street like this.
Really? Why?
No one says, what the F is a waxwork? Because that's like such a common thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, they're putting in a waxwork over there next to the Bed Bath & Beyond. Really? What the F is a waxwork?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I've always heard wax museum. Then, I don't really know if I ever saw one outside of Vegas or something. So, whatever.
What was that more recent one that Paris Hilton starred in?
House of Wax.
House of Wax.
I've heard of more houses of wax than I've heard of waxworks.
Yeah, right? Well, this more has a British sensibility to it.
He made me laugh. British sensibility. Oh, why? Because David Warner's British?
Yeah. Half the actors in this were British.
Were they? Well, I guess some of them. I wouldn't say
half.
You know
who else is British? You know who else is British? Who? Madame Tussaud. You know what she calls it? A wax museum.
Exactly right.
Well said, Brian Ibbett. All right. How about the, let's see. The German teacher. He didn't really do anything else in the rest of the movie, but I captured this anyway. Just the worst fake German accent ever made.
You obviously know all about the Lithuanian struggle. Otherwise, you would have attended the first 15 minutes of the lecture. Yeah.
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 That is great.
Yeah. I like that guy.
Man, I didn't realize how funny some of this crap was until you took it out of context.
I'm telling you, it's how this works. That's why we think we like it more than we do, but we really don't.
I thought that was Brian Cox when they first showed him, just for a split second.
Oh, Brian Cox? He would have been much younger, but he looks a little bit like him now, for sure. Yeah. What did we just see him in? Oh, the Apes movie, he's in that. He's the
right. Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, he runs the ape sanctuary.
The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Yeah. He was. He's always good. Whatever. That guy's great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about him more. Here's Brian's favorite part of the film. We talked about this the other day, so I know you liked it. Here it is.
I do what I want when I want. Dig it or f*** off.
Yeah.
I love that.
What's great is like the innocuous little line that leads up to that, which I can't remember. It's something like, hey, would you like a beer?
Yeah.
I do what I want.
When I want, so F off, and gets up and walks out.
That was that time in the 3 days where he got up to make a sandwich and he completely forgot where he was in the script and decided, hey, let's, now that I'm sitting back down here, let's make her angry about something.
Yeah, that's the moment of the movie I said, you're going to die soon, you're going to die soon, you're going to die soon, because she's a bitch, blah, blah, blah. All right, welcome to the Raxwork, everybody, or should I say, welcome to the Vaxwerk. Here it is.
Welcome to the Vaxwerk.
Yeah, creepy.
That was creepy. Yeah. Do it again.
Welcome to the Vax Work.
Scary. Ew. Scary little
that
man.
That gum you like is coming back in style.
I was out for 4 years.
Welcome to the Vax Work.
Here's Gimli, otherwise known as John Rhys Davies, otherwise known as Sala from Indiana Jones. Indy, bad dates. Here he is.
Jack, I know your father was my dearest friend, but you can do nothing to help me.
Jack, you got the wrong guy, man.
Jack! You must run, Jack. As far as you can.
Because I'm about to turn into one of Chuck E. Cheese's best friends. The one on saxophone. Yeah, that looked pretty bad. Mumbly dude at the table. What was this? Oh, vampires. Talking about the, yeah. Remember the table scene? That whole bit. So here it is.
I'm so sorry your fiancé couldn't join us. He had to leave very abruptly. But he asked me to watch over you, at least until tomorrow. I hope you'll find our company satisfactory.
Nothing weird about that.
No, not at all.
Sit down and eat those floating beef chunks and the red goo.
Right. Didn't even look like meat. Come on.
Again. I love that our problems with it are teleporting.
right.
Teleporting David Warner, and that meat didn't even look like real blood.
Good point. Yes, okay.
Touche, you would say. Let's see. Don't look in his eyes.
So, my pretty, you came down for a little midnight snack.
Don't look in his eyes!
That's a dude on the table. That guy was great.
He was fantastic.
He's missing half his leg, and he's just like constantly giving her cues. Don't walk over there. Don't look at his eyes. Don't let him eat my leg.
And he was fantastic. I mean, when the guy walked over and grabbed a chunk of flesh out of his leg meat and ate that, I mean, he screamed like it was just like the worst thing ever.
Yep. Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
It would.
He seemed pretty energetic otherwise, though.
Yeah, totally.
That was a little disconcerting.
He was a little bit in shock.
Yeah. Why would vampires do that? Why wouldn't they just, don't you just suck your blood? You don't keep a dude in the basement and nibble on him every once in a while, do you?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right. Any vampire experts here? No? All right.
No.
Let's move on to, the hard-boiled cop on the case. This is our man. Solve the problem. Here he is.
You know how many people have gone missing in this area in the last 2 weeks?
No.
13. That's a hell of a lot of people in 2 weeks.
And now another two.
And you're telling me that they've been kidnapped and boiled in wax?
Damn it, kid. Get out of my office.
The great thing about that scene is that the guy's got 8 styrofoam cups sitting on his desk. 8 empty styrofoam cups with, you know, 2 of them with little straws in it.
Uh-huh. Little coffee, little here, little coffee there.
Cops have coffee cups. Give me some coffee cups.
Give him a fake beard. Make sure he's wearing suspenders. Make sure his sleeves are rolled up. Make sure he's wearing sloppy khakis. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the director and the writer were idiots.
Yeah.
But
I'm getting too old for the. Oh, no. Wait,
same guy.
Wrong trope.
Director and.
The actors loved it.
Director is the writer and director. So he had.
Exactly.
A lot to do, you know? He tried his best. He got David Warner somehow.
So he did.
Did all right. Let's see.
He's a good BSer.
Bad acting. So it's the girl, the Valley girl, doing some bad acting. I captured some of that.
Haven't got old, eh?
Well. It all started when a friend and I,
China
and I, were walking to class in my neighborhood, and we ran into this man.
I have horse tranquilizers in my bloodstream. And...
Don't correct me. What was that? What was that even about? Why did he correct her?
Yeah, like China.
Oh, China.
My China friends. And me. Just... China is China and I. What?
Don't, doesn't it make you so sad, Scott, that somewhere there's a horse with insomnia that can't go to sleep?
Right. Because of her, dude. Yeah. She's yeah. I think there was something up there. Just saying.
Something up there?
Yeah, something up there. She had a suppository.
Like up where? Oh!
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a Valium in suppository form.
All right. Gotcha.
Kill him for?
What the hell did you kill him for?
Oh, that's what it was.
Wow. Great. Angry acting.
Who was that? Was.
What the hell Warner. Did you kill that's him da- for?
Yeah, definitely David Warner. Yeah.
All right.
He needed two more bodies for two more exhibits. Oh, no!
Oh, no.
We can't use dead bodies and dip them in the wax and then pose them.
It doesn't work that way. This is voodoo, man. They got to be living. You got to get their souls.
But when he went in the wax and he came out, he looked like he had a little bean curd on his face. It didn't look like wax.
Yeah, that'd be a really hard effect to pull off anyway. I mean,
you need CGI for that, or you need a double who's willing to coat himself.
You use the ice cream dip that hardens.
You just spray Elmer's glue all over you.
I used to love those like brown topper things.
Shell. Yeah, magic shell. I think it was called in the 80s. Yeah.
I'm sure that stuff was killing us slowly, but I loved it.
Yeah.
That's not right that it could do that. It's like magic sand. Like, what the hell kind of black magic is that? You put that in water and it stays all soft.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Anyway, none of this is... Oh, wait, no. Yeah, that's Spaceballs. Why would I play that? None of this is real, says this next one.
None of this is real. I was forced to. If I don't believe in you, then you don't exist. Shit, I hope I'm right.
Dang it. I keep coughing with the laugh. I blame him. none of this is real, then what? Oh, she's been dead a long time.
She's been dead a long time.
It's that's short. I just like that. That's the butler. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, don't worry about it. I'm the man that makes you sandwiches each day. She's been dead a long time.
It's okay to kill her. She's been dead a long time.
And then school time is over.
School time's over. Now you die.
Oh, trope. Freaking trope. Mm. Let's hold the knife close as long as we can, and then I'll get shot in the back by... No. Axe to the back by the girl.
Isn't there something, a Dolph line that we have that's some school time's over, asshole?
You're no longer needed here, asshole.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. Or is it this one?
Say goodnight, asshole. Goodnight, asshole.
That's nice. The one.
Yeah.
And then there's their ever favorite.
Slurp my butt.
All right. Let's now play Weird Sounds. This will finish out our clips. All right. I want to do it one more time. That was that clown creature thing. Or what was he? Like a voodoo wax doctor. Voodoo.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the sound he made when right before he died. He went like this. Ugh.
Wow.
Ugh. I don't like that at all. All right. What I do like... is awards. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Let's get some awards to this film. These are our Film Sack Awards. We award these each and every week when we have a new film to talk about. And the awards for Waxwork are the following. The dumbest idea for a movie ever award goes to Waxworks. The worst use of David Warner's license. Of your David Warner license is the word I meant to say. The Are You Sure You Really Wrote This Movie in 3 Days award goes to this movie.
Spent a whole 3 days?
The I Could Have Told You That Dummy Was Not Dead award, and finally the Best Old Man Hug Death award. That was pretty good when that guy died that way.
Yeah.
And the neck breaking wear bunny, that was great. Just busting necks left and right. Our Star Trek connections in this film, which came to us from the Trek nerd, Daryl, are these. David Warner, obviously. Star Trek V. Yes. He was John Talbot, Star Trek VI Klingon Chancellor Gorkon, and on TNG, he was Gull in the Four Lights episode.
And you know, if a bit of trivia here about David Warner, if he didn't take every single script that landed on his desk and wasn't already obligated to another project, he actually would have been Freddy Krueger.
Oh, really?
Because he was busy. That went to Robert Englund.
Oh, weird. Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that is weird.
He's probably glad.
And watching this movie, you get the feeling he did take every script that landed on his desk.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll do that.
Surely.
Yes, I will.
John Rhys-Davies played the werewolf. He was also on 2 episodes of Voyager, the hologram of Leonardo da Vinci.
right. I forgot the name.
Then Zach Galligan, who was Mark, he played David Gentry in an episode on Voyager called In the Flesh.
Galligan.
Oh, yeah.
Galligan. What did I say? Galligan?
Galligan.
Galligan.
Gilligan?
Gilligan.
All right.
Gilligan.
Radioactive vegetables.
And,
yeah, remember that. Or white guy playing a Chinese guy hiding in the tree. Remember that episode?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. I love those.
Classic stuff. The soundtrack, I don't even remember what it was. Do you guys remember what it sounded like? Yes. I have no idea.
Yes, it was good.
Was it?
Okay. It was fun.
All right. It was good. I liked it. Sometimes when it needed to be serious, it was serious. And sometimes when it needed to be funny, it was funny.
I remember, honestly remember, it was pretty much zero about it. I don't remember hearing. I know there was music. I just don't remember it being good at all.
It's in the background of some of your clips. It's kind of Casio keyboard.
Mm. My favorite, then, is what you're saying. Let's do a Twitter post in 140 characters or less. Gentlemen, please tell me what you would sum this movie up as. Let's start with Randy.
Waxwork, a fine Halloween film, if every horror film ever made is unavailable to you. Also, if you don't need to spend the time washing your hair. Also, if you hate yourself, you asshole.
A little bit of anger?
A little bit. I like that, though.
A little bit.
I feel that pain. Brian Dunaway, yeah, you.
Stereotypes abound in this. Wait, what?
I don't know. Go ahead. What?
Waxwork. I'll start over. Waxwork. Stereotypes abound in this 80s creep out flick that forced you to spend your good taste for just a little bit of fun. Ibbit. A little bit of fun.
You're not gonna get me.
You can't convince
Waxwork, him. Even if I go into
another dimension. And you dip me in wax, I'm still not going to like this movie.
I love that Team Deluxe Away's Twitter posts were all second person.
Oh, that's right.
Waxworks right. are out of date. We got video. I love that
one. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
I kind of touched on this a minute ago, but Waxwork. The true horror of this film is that David Warner will take any script that lands on his desk with sauce. The sauce makes the script.
That was good. Touched on it earlier or not, that was fantastic. Well, here's what I learned while you whipped a virgin for hours and didn't leave a mark. That really bugged me. Never, because really? They're acting like it was so. Oh. It's going to kill her. No, I don't mind if it kills her. Just kill her and give me another slut.
Continuity in this film, I give it an F.
Bad continuity. All right. We should have her. Actually, that's a good idea. We should do something with that. Anyway, never trust David Warner when he's wearing his little Willy Wonka cosplay outfit. Still not sure if the little guy was dude or lady. I think I can safely assume he's a dude because IMDb says so.
Make up the mic thing!
Hold on. Can I play it one more time? Just Please. One more. Wait. Welcome to here.
Welcome to the Waxwork.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Waxwork.
Gross.
To a cat howl.
That's so weird. Anyway, in Waxwork world, vampires are really stupid and end up biting the neck of statues because they're not fast enough.
That was funny.
That was so dumb.
It wasn't funny.
Dude.
When I say funny, I mean not funny.
Dude, a rat is eating your leg. Freddy called and says he wants his movie concept back. And finally, because that's a total Freddy Krueger. This whole thing is like dreams.
I can totally see that. Yeah.
It's like dreams, just not dreams. Let's see. And then finally, they shot a baby in a cage. And that's
I love that.
That was weird.
That baby was, that thing was messed up.
I know.
Yeah.
I think it was played by that little dude.
Yeah.
It's going to haunt me.
Especially
All right, let's do an email. Somebody wrote in and gave us a whole bunch of examples. A bunch of you did and gave us examples of movies that have abrupt changes in the middle of them. Or in some other cases, you sent us a list of movies, which we also talked about, which featured false starts, like beginnings that seemed like they were doing something else, but turns out it was something completely different. And I'll give you a few of them. Jeffrey wrote in and said, Monsters, Inc. is definitely that kind of movie. So it's a big fake sneak up on a kid and scare him in bed.
It is.
Starting, which was all faked. It was training at the company.
Right.
Strange Brew says, somebody named Strange Brew. Like that was the name of the dude. Says Strange Brew. So he must be a Strange Brew friend.
I think he's suggesting it for the film. For something for us to sack, right?
I think we should.
I don't know. Maybe we could.
I watched this movie.
I have it on DVD.
Dan says, you hoser. Dan says, From Russia with Love. I don't remember that, but it apparently had a false beginning. And then Jeremy gave us a bunch. He said, X-Men The Last Stand. That's true. Toy Story 2. Totally forgot about that. The big fake video game at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's playing it? The dinosaurs playing it? Rex?
Yep.
And then Tron has a false beginning. But I don't remember how.
The first one?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. But can we confirm that? Let's see. I'm trying to remember now. I know it all zoomed around like it was a game, but then zoomed out, and it turns out it was traffic or something. Wasn't that the deal? Like it was just city traffic?
That's what I was thinking.
But maybe that's the credits.
I have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, we'd have to see. But thank you all, you and many more people who sent in examples of that. Still sort of collecting the abrupt change in the middle of the film list, because those are fun to read as well. So keep
it
those
really
coming.
It really should be called the From Dusk Till Dawn list.
Yeah, From Dusk Till Dawn, the list, right?
The list.
The feet.
The official list.
The feet.
The feet.
Let's do some quotes from Scott Fletcher about this film, Waxwork. He swooped in with the following.
The trouble with dictators. I think dictators are the bad people. They have the shouting voices and the small mustaches.
Oh, my Lord. That was real dialogue.
Comedy bit.
Yep. Real dialogue, folks.
Oh, I'm going to have the maid write my 60-page essay.
Here's another one. Taking a closer look.
Would you like a closer look?
Yeah. I would if you ask nicely. Do you like the meat?
Raw meat. Do you like raw meat?
Raw meat.
I love that one.
And then now I've saved it for last. We keep playing this. Here is his version of that.
Welcome to the Vaxver.
There you go. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Brilliant as always.
Scarier.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. All right.
It's creepy, but scarier.
Our next film, by the way, if you're keeping score at home, is Time Bandits.
Oh, sweet.
Right. Yep. Speaking of, you know, little people getting lots of action in that movie. I love that movie. Absolutely love it, but it's been a while, so this will be fun to kind of look at it through film sack goggles, you know.
Another David Warner joint.
Oh, yeah, he's in that. Mm-hmm. The devil, dude.
The devil. And,
that's right.
Half of Monty Python's in there. Directed by Monty Python alumni.
Terry Gilliam.
Yep, Terry Gilliam. You got Kenny Baker, who was R2-D2. He's in it. A bunch of people. Every little person working in Hollywood at the time is in this.
Right. No Peter Dinklage, sadly.
No. But the lady whose face is getting all stretched out on the Brazil movie poster.
Yeah, Catherine Hellman.
She's in it.
Jessica Tate.
Yeah, so another Benson connection. That'll be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like the Benson connections.
So this was our Halloween episode of Film Sack.
This was. Oh, happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween. You'll be having Halloween here in a couple of days if you're listening to the show as it first comes out.
Yep.
Our very first Film Sack was 2 days before Halloween.
Whoa.
The one about Krull.
Oh,
interesting. Cool.
So happy second anniversary, my friend.
That's right. Go buy a glaive and huck it at something just to celebrate. Yeah, that's weird. 2 years of this show.
2 years of Film Sack. That's
crazy.
Right.
Wow. That's crazy. And we're creeping up on 100, so stay tuned for that. I still think it'll be Last Action Hero, but we're...
It's hard to think of a film more appropriate for Film Sack than the greatest critical tragedy of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is, right? Like, what else is worse, except maybe
Ishtar? There's never been a movie that's been panned harder.
Was Ishtar bad or worse or better? Because Ishtar, I remember that being the talk.
Never saw Ishtar.
It doesn't matter. You can't see Ishtar. It doesn't matter. How would you see it? What it's not available.
It doesn't exist. They never made.
Yeah, they never put it out for you to see.
That'd be too easy a one for my, you know, my Twitter post where I just anagram the name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Well said. Hold on. I'm going to do. You're telling me this does not exist in any form that we can. It's not available.
No.
What the crap, dude? It doesn't even say save or, hey, maybe one day.
Ishtar is famous for being unavailable.
Oh, but I want to see it. But they still have the description and all the stuff up here. It's great. It says
Amazon. What is it? Let's see here.
See if they're streaming. I doubt it. If Netflix doesn't have or has just not available in giant bold letters.
It's not even right. You can't even. I'm pulling it up in the TiVo app, which tells you, all right, this is available via Amazon. This is going to be on TV in the next 2 weeks. This is available via Netflix. Nothing.
Nothing.
This says 1987, when their agent books a gig in the Middle East, two floundering American lounge singers garner success and get ensnared in international intrigue, starring Warren Beatty, Dustin Hoffman, and directed by Elaine May. It's in the and it's got 3.5 stars, but it's not available.
We've gotten kind of far afield. Tell me again what movie we're doing on November 4th.
It's tiny the little
time
people.
Bandits.
Time Bandits.
Time Bandits. Time Bandits. Right, yes. Right, right. November 4th, one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah. Remember the 4th of November.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes? That's not it. It's the 5th of November, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to wear my Guy Fawkes Jr. mask on the 4th.
Well, you should if you're a bandit. If you're a time bandit, you have to wear a mask. Bandits wear masks. Yeah.
All right. There are 11 pages of reviews for a movie that has never been available on Netflix.
I can't get you off that subject.
That's really awesome. Weird. Charles Grodin was in that. Who else? I'm just checking this here. Anybody else we care about? Nope. David Margulies, heir to the
Juliana Margulies fortune.
Yep. All right. Ooh, I heard a cowbell. Was that a cowbell? Because that was a fantastic way to end the show.
That was Randy breaking the tab off of his Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, do it again. Is that like a cowbell?
You can't break a tab off a can twice.
You can if you get another one.
Oh, that's true.
You should try. All right. Well, let's get out of here. The site to visit is FilmSack. Email us at FilmSack@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at FilmSack. It's a great place to follow us. Oh, there it went again. You hear that? Now it's like Ishtar music. Ishtar soundtrack. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love those. We like to read those. See what you think of the show. That will do it for us. That's for me, Scott Johnson. For Brian. And for Randy. We'll see you next time.
We got video.
I forgot about that line. That was a dumb line. All right. Ooh, I heard a cowbell. Was that a cowbell? Because that was a fantastic way to end the show.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.